You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
We're into our Christmas series a little bit, talking about Christmas, coming into Christmas. And I guess for most of us, this is the final lap, isn't it, leading up to Christmas. Some may already be into holiday mode, maybe students, and you're just relaxing, enjoying the holidays and just free of work and stress. But for most of us, this is like Christmas stress time now. The final few days, the pressure really comes on as family costs go up. We've got presents, we've got food, we've got holidays. And if you've got a business, then you've got these impossible deadlines that you've got to try and meet. Everybody wants it before Christmas, so you've got this deadline to meet. And then there are the end of the year parties. And I guess for a Christian, you're trying to live a life of example and model a good example there. That can be a little bit of an embarrassment. And then in our house, like Christmas Day is the big day, you know, like planning leading up to Christmas Day. And for us, it used to be, you start planning in January. Marilyn and her sister, when all the families used to come together, they're all scattered a bit now, so it doesn't work quite like that. But back in a few years ago, it used to start in January, planning Christmas and leading up to the big day. Now, well, the kids are all over the place, families all over the place. It depends who turns up. And last year, we thought we would have four for Christmas Day, and four is not good. When it's only four, we don't get the Christmas pudding. Marilyn has got a secret recipe. It's like my mother used to make it. It's that special secret recipe that gets handed down through generations. And so when there's only four, she says, you don't need it. I can't understand why. But anyways, and so last year we had, leading up to Christmas, we had four a week before, but all of a sudden we had 14. 14, it's all on. And so that's really great. And so this year we've got three, and it could be 14 again. So pray for us. Pray that there'll be 14 so I get my Christmas pudding at Christmas time, yeah. But somewhere between childhood and adult, Christmas changes. Something is lost. It's not so much a fun time. It becomes a stress time. But in the middle of it all, there's this little voice that is talking to us saying, hey, this is Christmas. This should be the time of peace. 700 years ago, before the birth of Jesus, God made this birth announcement. He said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't it ironic that so much when it becomes such a time of stress and getting uptight, a time of pressure that we have on families, that we're supposed to be celebrating the arrival of the Prince of Peace. We get so caught up in the giving that we forget about the giver. We get so caught up with the shopping mall, we forget about the message. And the message is that Jesus came to save our lives. He is the only person that has ever known exactly how he was going to die before he was born. Quite amazing, isn't it? The Bible says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And it says there that this is the amazing beauty of Scripture. This is the hand of God. All Scripture was inspired by God. And we see this Isaiah, he's writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes it this way. He says, a child is born and a son is given. Doesn't say that a son is born and a child is given. You think that would be the right way to say it? Hey, it's a boy, or hey, it's a girl. You know, normally that's a big excitement. What's it going to be, a boy or a girl? Is it going to be a son? Is it going to be a daughter? But it doesn't say that. It says, no, it says a child is born and a son is given. Jesus always existed as the son before he was born as a child. He existed when Isaiah wrote this. Before creation, Jesus existed as God the Son. He is part of the Godhead. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He is part of the Godhead. And so the child being talked about here is the humanity of Christ. The Son being talked about here is the divinity of Christ. The Apostle Paul, he writes, speaking about Jesus, he said, in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then he goes on and says later on, a few chapters later, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. When you so love something, that means it's extra special. All our children, they would have their little soft toys, don't they? But there is always one soft toy that they so love. Worth more. It's more than any of the other ones that they have. You go on holiday and you get onto the motorway and you say, where's Bear? Oh, no, you know, you might as well get in, turn the car around and go back home again. The holiday will be a misery without Bear being there. It is so loved. It is like the special toy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Philippians in chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, it says, again speaking of Jesus, it said, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. So the phrase here, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, talks about the humanity and talks about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The baby was the first and only baby to drink the milk that he made. Let's look at a few things today so that will help us get through the pressure and the stress of Christmas so that we can be present this Christmas without becoming unwrapped. First thing I want to suggest is this. A couple got it, most didn't. You can be present this Christmas without becoming unwrapped, okay? All right, the first thing is this. Things are not always as you see. Things are not always as you see. The Bible says a child is born to us, God's big entrance into this world to destroy the works of Satan and to set us free from the penalty of sin is to send a baby. A baby doesn't seem to be an answer to prayer for an unwed mother. A baby that would cause tension with her fiancé. A baby which would cause discomfort to the mum while she carries it. A baby that would cause pain at birth. A baby there was another mouth to feed and to clean up afterwards. A baby that was going to be an unnecessary expense. You're like, are you serious? Is this God's answer? You know, the answer to a prayer, the answer to a sin, a world that is full of sin, that is broken, a wet nappy. Like, is this God's answer? We're praying like, God, I can't afford to pay the mortgage, or I've got the visa bill and I can't afford to pay the visa, and someone gives you $20 and you say, well, great, thanks, that's nice, God, but it's not really going to be the answer, is it? It's not really going to solve the problem. Or someone comes and they offers you another job and it's working longer hours and you think, flipping heck, I'm already working long hours now, I don't need any more hours. You know, things are not always as you see. Like a baby, your answer may just need to be nursed. Don't underestimate small packages. From heaven's perspective, the birth of Jesus was spectacular. From earth's perspective, it was mundane and disappointing. From heaven's perspective, it was just awesome to think that the eternal, all-powerful Son of God would wrap himself up in flesh and come down amongst the people he created. Angels would have been looking in awe, think, whoa, what's going on here? To see what was happening on earth there. This is God. From man's perspective, he is born in a dump. They're trying to kill him when he got here. There was no room in the inn that he stayed. He was born to a virgin who's trying to explain to her boyfriend, Joseph, it's not quite what it looks like. And there was no palace, there was no guards, there was no kingly surroundings. Things are not always as you see. So you may be going through a real rough patch in your life right now. Things may be really difficult. Maybe you can't see a way forward at the moment. Don't let people tell you just because things are not good for you at the moment that there is no God or that God is not with you, because Jesus came in a stable. The glory of his coming was not in the furniture which he lay in or the environment surrounding him. It was pretty ordinary. It was not like you would expect for a king. See, the glory that really matters in life is not in your wealth, it's not in your flash home, it's in things that your accountant can't count. The glory, the things that really matter in life, are not in the tangibles, but it's in the intangibles. The glory, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He said, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. What he's saying is I've had it both ways. He says, I've been up, I've been down. I've learned how to survive with nothing. I've learned how to survive with something. And in all of it, I've learned to be content. He's not celebrating poverty. He's not celebrating being sick or being hungry or anything like that. But when you've lived a little bit of life, you realize that it doesn't matter how much the bed costs. What's more important is that you have a good night's sleep. It's not just what you eat that matters. It's what eats you. It's nice to have a nice home, but it's more important that there's peace in the home. It's great to have a beautiful church facilities like we enjoy today, but it's more important that there's a conscious presence of the Holy Spirit when we come and meet together. See, things are not always what you see. The outside can look really great, but the inside can be a mess. And so a baby is born. A baby symbolizes all our hopes and dreams for the future. Financial, good health. These are the things that parents are hoping for their child, that these sort of things will go well for them. They long for that. But in the case of Jesus' birth, there's a lot more than that involved here, because wrapped up in Jesus in this unlikely setting here are not just the hopes and dreams of Mary and Joseph, the mum and the dad, but the hopes and the dreams of all creation. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birth, but that's only beginning. It's really interesting. If you look in the Bible, we're not asked to celebrate Christmas. We're not asked to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but we are asked to celebrate his death and his resurrection. That's what communion's all about. See, the baby at Christmas was just the start, the beginning of a new way of life that would only be possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Things are not always as you see. Second point I want to make is this, is that it's bigger than you thought. What's happening, what God wants to do in your life is bigger than what you think. The scriptures say a child is going to be born, that's nice. And then we read all of these other titles in which he's going to be. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Since stepping back from leading the church, I thought it'd be a good idea to write a little bit of the history of Elim Christian Center, the journey that we have taken. And obviously, being the founding pastor, I carried a hold of those stories. And so I wanted to record them, to write them down so that they would not be lost. And then after finishing that, I thought, oh, it'd be a good idea to do that for the family tree as well, so that our kids have got the history of the family tree. And my father and my youngest brother had put a little bit together, but they've both passed away now, so I thought it would be good to put something of the family tree together. And then my family tree goes back to my great-great-grandfather, who migrated to New Zealand in 1877. So then I thought, oh, well, it'll be a good idea. I'll do the same on Marilyn's side as well, so we've got a record of her family tree as well. So you see a wedding photo, and you've got a couple in a wedding photo there, and a happily married couple, but you do look 50 years later, and you've got a family photo, and they're bred like rabbits. Man, you know, like this, the two have become many. The photo is just full of people, and so heritage is important. See, we're beneficiaries of our parents and our grandparents. And I have a picture of my grandparents' house. And that's my grandparents' house. And that's up in the back of, those that know something of New Zealand geography, it's up in the back of Tikawiti, and Tikawiti between there and Tamaranui. And so it was a pretty rough area up in there, up in the hills there. It was really cold, and so there was no electricity, no insulation. I know some stories that I've read of when babies were being born, they had to get to the nearest hospital and back by horseback to get there. It would not have passed a healthy home standard. It didn't meet that at all. It was like a really hard, cold life in which they lived way back there. See, there is no success without sacrifice. We have today because someone else sacrificed. The chair you sit in today in church is because someone else sacrificed. How many know when we started the church nearly 40 years ago, we didn't enjoy the facilities that we have here today. We started in a cold school hall, and my office was in my garage. I can remember one year we had those big blow heaters, you know, the ones that they had kerosene or something in them, didn't they? But they used to blow the heat out. And the ladies in the cold, they'd go and stand against it like this, you know, and they have nylon stockings, and it would melt all their stockings at the back of the neck. So Pastor Stephen Becks back in those days was still running around in nappies. And I get to see what we take for granted today, others here who have walked that journey, it's an amazing miracle. I had dreams and plans for a church that I thought were pretty big. But how many found that God's plans are bigger, his thoughts are bigger than our thoughts? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has done exceedingly more than anything that I could have ever asked or thought about." So it says here, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, a baby. But hidden within this baby are all these other amazing names that he would become." Are you realizing the potential that God has hidden within your life if you're prepared to make the sacrifice? God said to Israel, "I've given you the land, but you've got to go and possess it. There's giants in the land. You've got to go and possess it." There is always a partnership in life between you and God. God works through people. See, God has given to mankind, God has given to humans authority over this world. And that is why we're to come to God and we're to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, you have given to me authority, but I can't do this on my own. I ask that you will come and you will work through my life and within my family, within my work situation, within my church or whatever I'm involved in. Oh God, that you will work through my life, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bible is silent when God doesn't have a man or a woman to work through. Sometimes you look at scripture, it goes hundreds of years of just silence. God didn't have someone to work through. He has limited himself to work through mankind. That is why Jesus, even though he was God, to have authority on this earth, he had to come as a human. And even now the Holy Spirit, he comes within our lives and he works through us. God, the Holy Spirit, he works through us to work out his purposes on earth as it is in heaven when we invite him in. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." What did God have in mind when he called you? What riches has God placed within you? God has taken his treasure, he's buried his riches, his glorious inheritance. He's taken it and he's put it inside you and he's put it inside me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Remember stories about pirates? They would take the treasure and they would find a deserted island and they would dig a hole and they would bury the treasure in the island there. We have this treasure in these jars of clay. Some translations say earthen vessels. We have this treasure to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What riches has God placed in you? You need to dig up the treasure that God has placed within your life. See, what you need to fulfill your destiny is not around you, it is in you. See, don't complain about what you haven't got. Don't compare yourself to what someone else has got. We can spend all the time studying everything that is around us, looking at everything that is around us, wishing that we had something else that was outside of what we have within ourselves instead of studying what is in us. If you study yourself, you'll find the enormous potential that God has placed within you. You'll find amazing things placed there by God that you did not have a clue that you had. When I was younger, I had no idea that I was able to do the things that I do now. When you're born as a little child, the Creator is the only one who fully knows what is in you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, says that he knows the thoughts and the intent of the heart. He knows everything about you. He doesn't only know your thoughts. The Bible says he knows your intentions. He says, I know what you meant to do. People will judge you for what you do, but God knows your heart. He knows what you meant to do. He knows what you were trying to do, even though you may have blown it and made a mistake and you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to follow God. You're trying to serve him and you get it mixed up sometimes and you make a mistake and he knows your motivation, the Bible says. He knows your intent. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. He doesn't help our disobedience. If we just say, "I don't care what God thinks about it, I'm just going to do it anyway," I think he leaves us in the mess that we make. But when he knows our heart, he knows what we're trying to do. And even though we make a mistake, he knows our intentions. He knows our thoughts. He helps us in our infirmities. He doesn't judge us. He helps us. And if you allow God to take you through things, if you will work with him, you'll discover hidden treasures that you never knew were there. Life is about discovering what is in you. It's bigger than what you thought. And the third thing I want to suggest to you today is this. Where you are helps your understanding. Where you are helps your understanding. See, Jesus was born in a stable strategically. God had a plan. Whether you know it or not, there's a purpose to your problem. See, there's a purpose to your struggles. It's not like God, if you're going through some stuff, it's not like God can't get you out of it. It's not like God is broke and can't afford to send some finance your way. It's not that God can't fix it. But if you have a problem and God doesn't fix it, there is a strategy, there is a purpose that he is using. He hid Jesus in a stable. He locked him away where he couldn't be detected. He put him in a place where only wise men could find him. Mary and Joseph had to hide in Egypt. God had to hide him, living on the run. This is God, Almighty God, God the Son, who has come down to earth in a human form and a baby, and he's on the run. He's hiding in Egypt. God had to hide him, the Almighty, all-powerful God. Imagine if somebody met him when he was on the run. They would have said to him, he doesn't look like much of a savior. If they had seen him then, they thought, he doesn't look very mighty. He doesn't look like a conqueror. How's he going to defeat sin? But there was a reason why he came like he did. He didn't just come to redeem the world. Jesus didn't just come to redeem the world. He didn't just come to rebuke the enemy. He didn't just come to set us free from sin. But he came in this way so that he could understand you, he could understand me. See, how many know for a marriage to work, it requires some understanding of your spouse? We have been married 56 years now. It took some understanding. I won't tell you on whose part, but the Bible says that Christ is married to the church. The Bible says that he is the bridegroom, that the church is the bride. He says, I'm going to have to get to know you in order so that I can dwell with you. And so he came so that he could see what it was like to be you, to understand what you go through. Without him coming, he would never have known what tiredness was. He would never have known what sleep is, because the Bible tells us that God doesn't slumber or sleep. He would never have known. You can pray to him at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're not going to wake him up. He's already awake, okay? He doesn't slumber or sleep. He came so that he would know what sleep was. He came so that he would know what hunger was. He came so that he would know what loneliness is. So he would know what pressure is, what temptation is, what pain is. So he came so that he could know what it is to be touched with what it's like to be you. See, some religious people won't celebrate Christmas because they say that this is not the real day of Jesus' birth. It's just a pagan celebration. And I don't care what day he was born. I don't care if it was December the 25th or my birthday, May the 4th or my birthday. I don't care what day he was born. I don't care what he wore. I don't care whether the holy shroud is really his or not. I just don't care. I care that God loved me enough to come to where I were. I loved that he loved me enough to come so that he could understand what I was going through. For God so loved the world that he gave he sent his only son. I care that when Sid had me bound, when all hell was breaking loose, when I was at my wit's end, he loved me enough to come to where I were and to feel my pain and to be touched by the things, to understand the things that I have to go through as I live this life on earth. I'm thankful that I can go to the rock of my salvation. I'm thankful that I can go to the stone that the builders have rejected. You know why? Because he's not just the God of the universe. He's not just the ruler of heaven. He's not just the CEO over all of creation. He's not just the chief administrator over the angels as they go to war. He's not just theirs, but he's mine. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's yours and nobody can take him from you. He's yours, nobody can rob him from you. We can't add to or take away anything that Christ has done or who he is. He was that before I was born. He'll be that after I'm gone. He was God before there was anyone to even say that he was God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In his kingdom there shall be no end, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And if you need peace in your life, he's the Prince of it. You ever watch those TV commercials? You know, you buy this, you get all this stuff free. It's like there's a big bargain out there. Receiving Jesus into your life is a little bit like that. You know, you get one product, you get everything free. Receiving Jesus, all these other benefits come into your life as you receive him as your Lord and your Savior. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just the way that you have loved us, Lord. We come here this morning, we look forward to the coming of Jesus with Christmas and his birth. But Father, we also remember that he died a terrible death, suffered a terrible death so that we could be set free. Lord, we thank you this day, our God, Lord, that he's a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, an everlasting Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.